Good morning, church. It sounds like you're ready. It sounds like you are ready to praise our God and to let him know that he is the joy of the Lord, that he is our strength, and through him is strength, and we can enjoy him. Would you stand and sing this song? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. For you are good, and you have rescued us. Every one, through Jesus, your only Son, now we're alive. Death has no grip on us, lead us to sing. Lead us to sing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in our God. Your perfect love has made us royalty. Daughters and sons, through Jesus the King of Kings, Spirit of God, marking us as your own. God, we are yours. God, we are yours. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. You will return. We'll have no cause to mourn. Pain will be gone. Death, it will be no more. We'll be your people, and you will be our God. Forever we'll sing, forever we'll sing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice, rejoice in our God. Amen.
I'll do a reading from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 9. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack.
And notice how many times it said that we are blessed when we trust in him. He said, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Didn't say weak. Didn't say scared. He said, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the man whose angels surround us because we're delivered. We're not weak. We're not scared. We're blessed when we trust in his protection. We're not weak when we trust in God, when we have no lack. We can trust in him. We are blessed. We're going to sing Psalm 34, and we'd like you to join us. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant, they'll never be ashamed, they'll never be ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me.
So magnify him.
Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt. Bless the Lord every day and night, never ending praise. May our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night, arise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never-ending praise, may our incense rise. Magnify the Lord with me. Give you everything. He'll give you everything. Praise God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. My name is Jason. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Crosspoint. We're glad that you're here today with us or watching at home. And let me start by wishing our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. Glad that you're here, and I pray that today will be a good day. A few announcements that I want to make you aware of. We have a college and career community group that is forming, and there will be a meet and greet for that group on Sunday, May 23rd at 6:30 p.m. You can go to yourc3.org/greet, and you can RSVP there. But again, that is May 23rd. Also, if you have your physical a service program, you'll note that it talks about men's softball, and you may have seen that in some of our other communications. The beginning date for that is being pushed back from May 14th to May 21st, mostly because it's still 35 degrees outside. And older men like myself don't want to play in that kind of weather. So it's being pushed back for other reasons. It's not weather. We're not quite that diva-like. Also, May is Foster Care Awareness Month, and as a part of that, we wanted to highlight one of our ministry partners, Olive Crest, specifically missionary Anna Benson Thompson, Anna Thompson. We've partnered with her for well over 10 years, and on May 12th, during our prayer meeting Zoom, there will also be a live chat with Anna to learn more about Olive Crest's tailor-made initiative, and you can learn more about that at yourc3.org/foster, or if you're able this Wednesday night to come on to prayer meeting on that Zoom, you can hear from Anna and hear ways in which we can be praying for her. Right now, we're going to enter into a quick business meeting for the purpose of welcoming DJ and Amanda Reeser into membership here at Crosspoint. They have fulfilled all of the requirements that we have for people to become members. They've been baptized. They've been through our membership class. They've agreed with our covenant of fellowship, and the elders are comfortable today to bring them here before us. They are watching at home as membership candidates. So if you're a member at Crosspoint, can I have a motion to invite them into membership? Okay, do I hear a second? All in favor, will you say aye? Any opposed? Of course, there are none, and so you're halfway there. We'll see how second service goes. They're a little more feisty, so you never know. But DJ and Amanda, if you're watching, I think it's probably in the bag. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, we're glad to be able to gather here together this morning. We're thankful for the mothers of this congregation. We're thankful for those who have gotten little ones together this morning and the work that that can be. We're thankful for those who maybe were up late last night worrying about a teenager. God, we're thankful for those whose children have moved out of the home and are no longer there, but they still are a worry to their moms. We're thankful for those whose children have grown and have children of their own, so now they're grandmothers. And we know that there's a special care between a grandmother and a grandchild. Lord, we're thankful for those women of this church who may have never had a biological child of their own, may have never had someone who calls them mom, but yet has fulfilled a motherly role in this church in so many ways. We pray that today they will not be forgotten. They will not feel as though this day is not about them. Because we read in Scripture, we see in Scripture the importance of everyone in the raising of our children. And so we are grateful for them. Lord, there are some here this morning who this year have lost a mom or in past. And so a day like today is a day that brings up a wound. May we remember the good. May we remember that you have comforted us, that you are there with us, that you love us. And Father, in all this, may we not only focus on moms, because in doing so, we would stop short of what we as believers are called to do. May we see through their example and in their example what it means to love, and how you have loved us, and how Christ has given of himself for us. And so this morning, as we sing, as we pray, as we worship, may we be reminded once again of the beauty of the truth of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and how it changes our life. So that as we go from here today, we can live lives that honor you and glorify you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As has been the tradition of Cross Point for so many years, we're going to modify that tradition on Mother's Day. But it is has been expressed through mothers that they really enjoy this, is having the men sing a hymn. Well, we're going to let the men stay where they are, but we'd like you to ask you to stand. All the men, we are going to give the mothers and women a gift of singing truth in that nice, solid, manly way that I know that you can do. Sing this, great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God. No shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will.
Let's hear it, men.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is
job, men. Ladies, would you stand and join them on the second verse? Summer and winter and springtime and harvest.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in I see. All I have needed, I have.
to sing that line again.
Great is thy faithfulness.
One more time.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving us mothers, for equipping them, and for their faithfulness, equipping them with love and care. Thank you so much that you care for us as well. And it's hard to believe you care for us even more. Thank you for your faithfulness to us while we are unfaithful. I pray we would always remember and be reminded that you are the one that has been faithful to us. Thank you for your goodness. I just want to lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sin runs deep, your grace is more. For grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I stand, I stand and fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Lord, I need you.
My one.
may be seated.
We are in Psalm 23, and so I want to invite you to turn there with us this morning. We're going to stand in a moment and read that together. We've been doing that for the past several weeks, and so hopefully it's starting to find itself lodged in your mind. And if you're having trouble learning it, I encourage you to say it 10 times at home, 10 times a day, and it will come and you will have it. So if you're able, I'd like you to stand as we read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. We're taking our time working through this psalm. And so last week when we came really to verse 4, we saw that it started to take a bit of a turn. And the psalm begins to talk about the difficulties in life. The psalm begins by focusing in on the grace and kindness and the nature of the good shepherd. It talks about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shouldn't want for anything. I'm not going to need anything. In him, I'm satisfied that he brings peace, that he leads, and that he restores us. But in verse 4, there's a change. There's a change both in tone, but there's also a change in grammar. David now is applying what he knows about God to specific situations. And the specific situation he begins with is this journey through the valley of the shadow of death. And it seems, as we read this, that in this moment, this is something that David is speaking about, probably from personal experience, that there were times in his life as he lived, as he went through his life, where he felt like death was close, where he sensed the possibility that it could be the end. And so David, in saying this, then comes here to verse 4 and says, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, here is where we have a shift in language. In verses 1 through 3, David's talking about God. But in verse 4, the language shifts, and now he's speaking to God. So this is personal. This is intimate. This is relational. It's not a poem that just declares true things about God. It declares them to God. There's a level of intimacy when you know who it is that you're speaking to. One of the great American poems ever written was written in 1865 by Walt Whitman, O Captain, My Captain. If you know the movie Dead Poets Society, you might think it's just from there. It isn't. It's from the 1860s. And beginning in 1865, Whitman actually wrote 4 poems to commemorate the life and the death of Abraham Lincoln. The most famous is O Captain, My Captain, and it says this in the opening verse, O Captain, My Captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. The port is near. The bells I hear, the people all exulting, while follow eyes the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. But O heart, 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 O the bleeding drops of red where on the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead. Whitman was moved to write this because he respected Lincoln. In fact, during the Civil War, Walt Whitman moved to Washington, D.C. to work for the government and to volunteer in hospitals. He so respected who Lincoln was, but he never met Lincoln. He didn't really know him. He knew about him and he respected him. And so in that, this poem has has life. This poem has strength. But had he known Lincoln, it would go to a whole other level. Had Lincoln known Whitman, had they dined together, had they been friends, it would have gone to another level. But he never knew him. This psalm, as we read it, is written by someone who knows the Lord. Not by someone who's just moved and inspired by what they've seen God do, but someone who has an intimacy, a personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Even as I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because you are with me. David is painting this picture of a shepherd who knows his sheep, who's there. And he identifies in this, where we're at today, verse 24, he identifies two tools that were important to a shepherd for tending sheep. And again, because we're not shepherds here, most of us, any of us, anyone? All right, it's a little bit lost on us, so we need to dig a little bit to understand a little better. He talks about a rod and a staff. And I actually have this morning two replicas. I am not the prop guy. I know you guys are surprised. Pastor Matt is the prop guy. All right, but I have two replicas that were provided to me by Audrey Lowry. They belonged to her son-in-law, Cass, and prior to his passing, he passed them along to Audrey. And so when we were talking this week, she emailed me and let me know that she had these, and I said it would be wonderful if we could see them to get an idea. And so she's graciously allowed me to use them this morning so we can kind of form an image in our mind of what David is talking about. A rod was something that a shepherd carried with them that would provide protection for the flock. Sometimes it was as big as this, other times it was smaller, and they would tie it to their belt, almost like a mace, if you will, and they would pick it up and they could throw it with great accuracy. They could use it to fence something off, or they would throw it. I'm going to demonstrate. In a moment, Pastor Matt will run down the aisle. If you have children, you'll want to shield their eyes. I'm kidding. But don't think I wasn't very glad that I have this sermon, because he would have me in my son's catching gear running down the aisle while he's whipping a stick at my head. Is that true? Nate says yes. All right. But that would be used specifically for protection. The other thing that we hear about is the staff, or the rod and your staff. They bring comfort. Now, this is a little smaller than maybe what we think, right? This is what identifies a shepherd in a Christmas pageant, right? That's how you know it's a shepherd and not Joseph. Joseph can't walk around with this, or he's a shepherd. All right, so when the shepherd has this, it has that crooked thing on the end that would allow for a shepherd to pull a sheep out of an area where they shouldn't be without necessarily getting into the danger themselves. It was used for discipline at times. You'd have to pop a sheep one just so that they would figure out they can't do that. All right, you would bring them back. It was also used for walking and for guiding so that they would follow after them. So when the original audience hears rod and staff, they know exactly what David's talking about. We don't always know. And so it's helpful, I think, to have that image. And with this image, it begins to develop a picture of a good shepherd. And the good shepherd does a number of things, but primarily in this passage, we see first that the good shepherd protects his flock. And with this being Mother's Day, as I was talking about protection, my mind went to my own mother. You know, moms sometimes have that kind of mama bear mentality where you can't mess with my children. My mother has that still. One of the reasons, in fact, very early on when I came back to Michigan to be a pastor, my mom told me, Jason, we will not be coming to church wherever you're at. And I thought, what a weird way to start the conversation. What's next? And she said, I don't trust myself. If I'm at a church and someone says something mean about you, I might hurt them. And she would. She would cut them. That's what she would do. All right? I remember my mother threatening to run a child over with a car after he threw a snowball at my brother. Now, she wasn't serious, but she's a teacher. And teachers can say things that they're not serious about, and kids do not know the difference. All right? Had that kind of mama bear protection kind of mentality. David here is talking about how a shepherd protects their sheep. A shepherd knows what is out there. A shepherd will invite danger upon himself if that is what is necessary in order to bring protection to the flock. And believers know this. And believers understand this in a way in which someone who doesn't follow Christ doesn't get. Because we know that our good shepherd has invited danger upon himself. We know what he has done for us. In John 10, Jesus builds out from this metaphor, really, that was begun by David so many years ago and identifies himself as the good shepherd. This is what he says, John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. Again, Jesus says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Two times Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. You want to know how to understand how Jesus relates to us? You want to know how to understand that intimate relationship? Look to the shepherd. Jesus is not just a shepherd, he's the shepherd, the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he doesn't just enter into danger for his sheep. He lays his life down for his sheep. Jesus says that two times. He's willing to die in order to protect his flock. Now, he then contrasts that between someone who's just a hired hand. They don't care as much. They're there for the money. There's no intimate relationship. There's no connection between sheep and shepherd. There's just who's paying me at the end of the day. Do I have the ones that I started with? I'm not in this for anything big. Don't want to be in danger myself. When the wolf comes, they flee. They run away. The flock is mauled. But the good shepherd places his needs ahead of the life, or places his needs in the life of the flock and their needs ahead of his own. He cares. He stays, he protects. And clearly in this passage, Jesus is talking about the cross. When Jesus talks about laying his life down for the sheep, he's talking about the cross. He's talking about giving of himself so that the sheep can be made right with God, so that we, as part of his flock, can be made right with God. And that's the kind of protection that our shepherd died to give us. He died so that we might be protected. So as we wander, as we go rather, or are led through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear death because we know that Christ has conquered death, that our shepherd has defeated death. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have a sense of unease. It's not wrong to have this uneasiness when we encounter death, when we look towards that. We don't look forward to it. We don't see death as a friend. We understand that death is the enemy. But it doesn't have to be an enemy that we fear, because even as we walk through that time, David says, we know our shepherd is with us. And we know our shepherd is protecting us in a way that we could never protect ourselves. He's protecting our soul. He's protecting our heart. And that should give us comfort. Now, in addition to protection, David also recognizes the guidance that he's been given by the Lord. And that's what our shepherd does. A good shepherd guides. You know, one of the things that was very important when I was a child, important to my mom, was safety. Safety was always an important issue. I remember the first thing I do when I get in a car, if I'm riding with you, if I'm driving, I put the seatbelt on. And that's because my mom drilled time and time and put the seatbelt on. Seatbelt, 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 seatbelt. Some people don't wear one. I don't understand that. All right? Because for me, if my seatbelt isn't on, I didn't even know until I was 31 the car could even go. I just assumed it had to be plugged in. But she would drill that into my head. And she's still very safety conscious. 3 years ago when I was 38 years old, I mentioned that I was running in the morning in the dark. And my mom looked worried. Like, I'm running. She said, do people see you? I think. And the next time she came over, she bought me a reflective vest. I'm 38 years old. I have a reflective vest that my mother bought me. Now I'm 41. Yes, someone wants me to correct that. That was when I was 38. Now I'm 41. Still wear the reflective vest that my mother gave me. Because for her, safety was important. She's kind of guided me in that way in my life. And so now with my kids, is the seatbelt on? Why isn't your seatbelt on? I don't understand how we've left and you're not buckled in. Buckle in. All right? This is what a shepherd does with his staff. A shepherd uses it to provide guidance, to move the sheep in the direction that is best for them. Because remember, as we talked about sheep, they don't know what's best for them. They don't know the direction that they should go in. And so when we look at the ministry and the life of Jesus, he spent so much time guiding people. Guiding people who thought they knew the best way to go in life, but who were really lost. Pointing out to the religious elite of the time, you think that doing all of these things is going to make you right with God, but what you really need to do is come over to this path and understand that I don't want stuff, I don't want things done, I want relationship. He speaks to those people who are looking for purpose in other places like relationships or money and says, leave those things and follow me. Let me guide your way. Let me show you how to live so that you will see the direction that God has for us. Now, we don't have Jesus in the flesh. We don't have our good shepherd here guiding us and speaking to us and coming to our home and saying, try this, go in this direction, leave that behind. But what we do have are his words. We have scripture produced and preserved so that the people of God would have guidance to know what direction to go. And scripture offers that. It's full of wisdom, of teachings, of how we should think, speak, and act. You know, in our time right now, when something happens, people demand a reaction immediately. Right? Something happens in the news, we're supposed to come out with a tweet right away. Condemn this. We're supposed to like a comment. We got to use a hashtag quickly. Change your profile pic. Add a banner in. Buy the t-shirt. Get a yard sign. Fly the flag. All of these kinds of things. As quick as you can. But the Bible says something different. It says that we should be slow to speak. Quick to listen. And so if we go the way of the world, we find ourselves pulled into something that becomes something else before we even know what's going on. But if we follow the guidance of Scripture, if we're careful, and if we speak truth, and if we demand justice, and if we're clear about what is going on, then we find ourselves going in a different direction, guided to a better way by our shepherd. Sometimes we wonder, how do we respond to the government? Scripture talks about that. What should we do when people mistreat us for the sake of Christ? The Bible offers guidance on that. What if you don't feel like you love your spouse anymore? The Bible offers guidance on that. Whatever situation you find yourself in, Scripture is either very clear about what to do or it's very clear about how to think. Now, sometimes the exact situation that you're in, you can't find that passage. But Scripture will tell you how you should think about it. And so that becomes our guide. That shows us the best way to live. It shows us how to please God with our life. Scripture offers guidance, but it also offers discipline. One of the reasons I so appreciate my mother is because she took discipline seriously. If my mother said something, then I knew it would happen. If she set a standard, I knew it had to be met. And there were times when I was in trouble, she had to discipline me or my brother. It was usually my brother, but sometimes it was me. You know, there are times when a shepherd has to pop a sheep with his staff. The purpose isn't to injure or maim. It's not done out of anger. It's not done out of desire to bring pain. It's to correct and direct them back to what is best for them. And there have been many times where I've sat down and opened up God's word and begun to read it, and I have gotten popped. I've come to a passage where I realize what I'm doing is wrong. I come to some place and I realize the thoughts in my head are wrong. My actions are wrong. My feelings are wrong, and I'm led to correct them. I'm led to correct them because of what the Bible says, pulling me out of that. If you have never felt corrected by Scripture, you're not reading it. Or you're not reading it well. Try the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters. You can finish it in a month if you read one chapter at a time. And every day you will find at least one thing that you can do better at. And when we do this, the purpose isn't to bring guilt and shame upon us. The purpose isn't so that we realize, oh my gosh, how terrible we are. The purpose is that we can see where we need God's grace in our life specifically and understand that God has given us that grace so that we can do better. Discipline, scriptural discipline, isn't to maim. It isn't to destroy. It isn't to put upon you a burden that you can't carry. It's to direct your path. It's to point you and move you in the right direction. A rod and a staff. Protection and guidance. But a rod and a staff in the hand of just anyone might not do that. In the hand of a hired hand, a rod and a staff doesn't bring comfort. But because in this passage, David is talking about the good shepherd, because David is talking about the Lord, then when we understand the rod and the staff in the hand of the shepherd, it brings us comfort. And that's what a good shepherd does. They comfort. Now, this word comfort really isn't the best word to use. Because when we think of comfort, we think, oh, life is easy. The shepherd with his rod and his staff, they're watching out for me. Life is fine. I feel good. There's nothing coming against me. I've made it right through this valley of the shadow of death like it was nothing. I have comfort. It's not that kind of comfort. The better translation really is gives me courage, because this is beyond being satisfied with the situation or pleased with the moment. It's not about making us comfortable. It's not about giving us a sense of satisfaction or emotional peace in the moment. All right, this is an emotional state where we can be courageous, where we can go forward. My oldest son turned 15 a couple of weeks ago. And when he was born in an emergency C-section. We went in and they couldn't find his heartbeat. And we knew that it was the day that he was going to be born. And so my parents had come to Kentucky where we were living at the time. So we went in at 7 a.m. to start what we thought would be a long day of labor, you know, and induction and all of this. And so my parents were going to come up at some point and wait in a waiting room. And when they couldn't find the heartbeat, they realized that he had flipped himself. He was now breech. It wasn't where it should be. And that really explained a lot of my son's personality moving forward, right? And so doing that, we then realized there was going to be an emergency C-section. And I called my parents and I told them, and I was nervous and I was worried. A young father, a young man, and they got to the hospital and they put me in all this gown. They got me all ready, and I have to stand in a hallway waiting. And I was so nervous. And then I saw my mom. This was when you could still move freely through a hospital. I saw my mom. And just seeing my mom gave me comfort. Just seeing my mom and my dad there gave me not comfort to know, oh, this is fine, everything's good. I was freaked out. Because either way, I'm going home with a baby. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But in seeing her, I then had courage to walk in there and be the dad and be the husband and say, we can do this. We can do this in Christ. I was reminded and brought back to earth. I had courage. When you know the shepherd, when you know what the shepherd has done for you, it puts you in a place where you can have comfort and you can have courage, even in the worst of times. That's what David's talking about. The valley of the shadow of death. That's bad times. That's a bad place. And even there, we can have courage. And some of you have been in places, some of us have been in places in our lives where it has seemed so dark. I know that many of you have walked with loved ones to their end. I know that some of you feel as though you're on that journey now. I've seen stuff in my life, my young life. Life is marked with loss. It's marked with goodbyes. When I was 14, my cousin was killed tragically in a car accident. Nothing in all of my life to this point has been more difficult. I've stood around my grandmother's hospital bed as we sang hymns and read scripture. I've hugged some of you as you've said goodbye to your parents. I've held the hands of people from this church as they took their last breath. And these are hard times, difficult stuff, dark times. But the one thing that they aren't, it's not alone time. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. David is reminding us that even in the most difficult of times, your shepherd is there. He is there loving you. He is there guiding you, directing you, leading you. He's with us as we walk with others through the valley. And it may be that he's leading us over one more hill into one more meadow and finally into our everlasting life. And so with this knowledge and with this truth about Christ, we can then move through those moments without fear. We can move through those moments with courage. And we don't have to be afraid of what death might hold because we're being led, we're being guided, we're being protected. And so we're going to close. And as we close, we're going to sing a song. And in the song, there are these words, "Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?" You know, sometimes we give this picture that Christians, we just have no fear. It used to be signs or T-shirts that they made, "No fear." But fear's to be expected. Sheep get afraid. And if you live your life with your eyes open, there will be a sense of fear that comes upon us at times. But a song like this that we're going to sing reminds us of the truth of this psalm, that there is one who has gone before us. Our shepherd knows the path. Our shepherd is guiding us to keep us where we need to be. And his death and sacrifice means that we can move through the valley of the shadow of death without being afraid of what might happen to us. We can have comfort. We can have courage. We can have confidence because our shepherd is faithful, because he will guide us and he will protect us. So let the words of this song be the prayer of your heart, or at least let the words of this song be what you hope for in your heart. Let's stand and sing.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall
shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful.
Stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Father, we are grateful for that beautiful truth that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. They give us courage. And so as we leave here this morning, may we leave courageous, knowing that no matter what we may encounter, whatever life holds for us, that you're guiding us, that you've gone before us, that you're directing us. May we listen to your word. May we be attentive to your spirit. May we follow hard after you, so that in all things, in everything we do, we may bring honor and glory to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.